This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Into the 2026 election season, a lot of interest in the governor's race. We've already talked to a number of the candidates in recent weeks, and today the newest candidate in announcing his candidacy just a few days ago, former Portland Trailblazer Chris Dudley. Chris, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. My pleasure. Pleasure to be on and fired up, excited about the, you know, we announced on Monday. The reception has been amazing, and we're off running, got enthusiasm, and so many people say, you know, Oregon can do much better than what we're doing, and let's go change it. So appreciate it, Kyle.
You bet. Thank you. So you played for the Blazers from 93 to 97 and then 2001 to 2003, and then you went on to other things. But then in 2010, you ran for governor, got the nomination, lost by about a percentage point, maybe under, closest race in Oregon history for governor. What made you come back to the table and seek the office once again?
Well, you know, and I've been involved in Oregon behind the scenes since running 2010. And at that time, my wife had said, you know what, I don't want you because of the family. Please don't run again until our kids get out of high school, because it could be tough on the family. And so obviously honored that, and I agreed with her. But meantime, I was working behind the scenes with others running for governor. Been asked about running for governor because, as you said, it was so painfully close. We had it won on Tuesday night, lost it Wednesday, well, really Thursday, closest race in 70 years. And so I've always thought about it and looked at it. And frankly, just got to the point where we have our kids. My wife and I have been married for close to 30 years. Our kids are sixth generation Oregonians, and eventually going to have seventh generation Oregonians. And we have to do better. Oregon deserves better. And when you look at the numbers, whether it's ranked 50th in education for fourth grade reading, or that we're ranked 47th in job creation, so we're not creating enough jobs. Portland and all the issues that have happened here and happened across our state is just a passion that, you know what, let's step up, let's do better. And I'm also a believer that from what I've seen, what I've witnessed, and what we're continuing to witness, that Salem's problems are not going to be solved by someone from Salem. We have a need for a different type of governor. We need somebody to come in and be able to lead and bring outside leadership, and not the partisanship, the finger pointing, all the, you know, name calling, all that stuff. We put that aside and say, hey, Oregon, we have serious issues. We need serious solutions, and let's get after it.
After your MBA career, talk about your occupational life, some of the things you worked on.
Yeah, so after I was an economics major from Yale, I went into the financial, I got my CFP right after retiring. I knew I wanted to go in that direction. And so I've had an investment business in Oregon, wealth management, since 2005, been in that business. But also had a foundation for kids with diabetes. I came down with diabetes in 1981, so I've had it over 40 years. I was the first player in the NBA with diabetes. We started our one of its, only one of its type, a basketball camp for kids with diabetes. We've had that here in Oregon for, we just celebrated our 30th anniversary. I've also been the CEO of a medical device company in Beaverton, and also chairman of the board of that company, CEO. And then I formed a group with Marshall Glickman, the founder of the son of the founder of the Blazers, called Rip City Forever to focus on making sure that the Blazers stay in Portland, stay in Oregon. So those are some of the things, among others, and nonprofits and other areas that I've been involved.
Now, have you ever held other elective offices?
No, I haven't. I just ran for governor in 2010, and as we talked about, painfully close. And I take a lot of pride in that election, in that it was a similar situation where the Oregon was in a situation where it was super minority. Republicans were in a super minority in both houses. And we ran an election that resonated across party lines. It resonated and generated a ton of energy, and feel like we should have won, and almost did, and have had the highest vote percentage of any Republican since Vic Atiyah for the governor's race, and then looking at it again is, let's do that again. Let's focus on the things that matter, and let's have somebody who comes from the outside, has the leadership abilities, has the background. I personally believe a background in business, someone who's formed a business, who's run a business, who's run a nonprofit, has been involved in the community, understands all the issues. I think that's what we need right now versus someone who's, you know, been a legislature for part-time for a couple years.
So talk about your vision for Oregon. If somebody asks you that question, what would you like to see Oregon become?
Well, I think what we all want, and this is an issue, this is a message that, again, resonates across party lines, and is that we want an education that we're all proud of. We want our kids to go to good schools and know they're going to be prepared. And yet here we are, 50th in the nation, dead last. We want an economy that is vibrant, where jobs are, where we can get jobs, where our kids can get jobs and they can afford to live where they grew up. Livability is a big issue. Safety on the streets. So it's really focusing on the education, the economy, and livability, which includes affordability and safety.
What would you say the role of the governor should be? How do you see it?
Well, I think driving the agenda is one, and having focus, and tackling at these issues, being decisive when you come in, and saying, when we're 50th or 47th or whatever it may be, that is a crisis, and we have to deal with it as such, and we have to get after it right away. And I think by running that message, getting that mandate, by winning the election, and as governor, I would have a laser focus on those issues to address them immediately, because they impact everything. We have to have a strong quality of life. If we want to retain people to stay in Oregon and to be here and bring in people for jobs and for businesses, you have to have a good education system. You have to have a system. You have to have a good business environment. You have to have safe streets. Those things are incredibly, incredibly important.
Chris Dudley, Republican candidate for governor, with us. What differentiates you from the other GOP candidates?
Well, I think we start with the idea of an outsider. I think somebody who's not immersed in Salem and the partisanship and the name calling and all that. I think it's time that we've been doing that for years, and here we are, and it doesn't work. And we need somebody who can come from the outside, not just come from the outside, but have the background, the depth of knowledge, the depth of experience, to be able to address the issues. And I think you also, we want to, if you want to get things done, you want to win. And you need to have a candidate that is going to be able to win, be able to resonate across party lines, and win the general election. And there's no question that if you look at that, the person who's done that, frankly, is me. And I can do that again. And it's something, I want to do it again, but with won some more points than I had the last time, and it closed the deal. But I think I can do that. And I think you have to. We have to have somebody who can resonate across the state, resonate with groups, people from all diverse backgrounds, whether Republican, Democrat, Independent, have a message and an ability to connect with people as a whole to win the election.
Oregon has seen numerous companies leave or maybe downsize their presence in the last few years. What do you think should be done differently to retain the existing companies and to attract new ones to Oregon?
Well, first of all, you're exactly right, because I'm so tired of talking to people that I know who are business leaders, who are looking to relocate, or they already have, and it's just been one thing after another. So the first step is do no harm. In other words, give businesses, they've just been getting beaten down every year. What's coming next? Every legislative session, what's the next thing that's coming? You know, what tax, what regulation? It's just been nonstop barrage. So the first thing is to stop that. And as governor, I would have the power of the pen to veto those things and say, hey, first step is do no harm. Second step is examine the taxes situation that we have. Everything is on the table. Look at where we can adjust that. And I'm passionate about we need to make Oregon livable for working class people. And we have the highest tax rate in the nation for someone making under $100,000. We need to address that and do so quickly. So the next thing is looking at regulations where businesses are just burden with regulations, and we need to address that as well. You look at, as governor, I would look at examples, and the good news about all of this is there are solutions out there. You just have to do them. I mean, you look at British Columbia, which has had a rule where they take out two regulations for every new one that comes in. You want to streamline the process and make it our business environment has slipped back all the way down into the low 40s. We need to turn that around quickly.
How does the governor?
Let me throw in one more thing that's role of governor, which is to go out and attract business. And I would love, as governor, to be able to go into California to businesses and say, hey, come on up here. This is what's going on now. And be able to bring businesses up to Oregon from wherever they may be. But be able to recruit businesses and say, hey, we need to look at the communities we have. Look at this state. Look at where the assets that we have. And let's go.
How does the governor advocate with the congressional delegation and the administration to see more federal funds come to Oregon?
I think you need to have an open door where you are talking with people, whatever the administration is, with the president, with the administration, and say, hey, how do we work together? You need to fight for Oregon. You need to be able to bring in dollars to Oregon and need to advocate for those. And so I think that's really one of relationships. And a lot of times that's done. Some of it's maybe done by outreach or just too often it's the grandstanding. And we see that where, and it happens on, it can happen both ways, but where immediately, if there's a meeting, there's a press conference outside and everybody's saying, you know, it's like, no, we need to figure these things out. We need to work on solutions that work for governor. I've worked for Oregon. And as governor, I would put Oregon first and say, let's get things done that work for Oregon.
What about going the other direction? How, as a governor, would you work to help counties in Oregon?
With the counties, I think, again, it's that communication. It's being able to I have a good relationship with commissioners across the state. It's being able to talk with local elected officials, having an open door, listening to their concerns. And as you know, as you travel the state, there's different issues in different parts of the state. And it's really that open line of communication that I think is so vital. And I know so often much of the state feels left out with what's been going on with our one-party dominance, that much of the state has not felt heard.
What's your take on forest management policy, both in Oregon and for federal lands that are in Oregon?
Well, I think it's an overarching theme. It's what we've seen. They start with the premise of what we've done is not working. And by that, I mean the whole trying to shut down the harvesting of timber or limit it, stifle it, has not worked in the regards of obviously, it's cost us jobs. It's hurt towns across the towns and cities across the state. But it's also caused these tremendous wildfires that, you know, there goes, we talk about the carbon and different issues that are so detrimental environmentally as well as economically. I think you have to have an approach that forests, we should harvest forests, we should work forests. You know, I give the example to my to friends from who might not be from timber country, and obviously I am in timber country up in central Oregon. But I will say, what do you think it would look like if you left your lawn and didn't do anything to it for 40 years? Would it be a fire hazard? And it's, the obvious answer is yes. So I think we need to work our forests and do so responsibly, which I would also argue when you have some of the, when families have owned or families have worked in timber area, they don't want to destroy the forest. They want it to be there for the next generation and generation after that. And so it's having strong management policies in place that produce jobs, are great for the economy, but also for the environment and fire safety. I think you can do all of them.
As you look at how money is spent in Oregon, what kind of shifts would you make to state spending patterns, maybe more money some places, less money others?
Well, I think you start with everything's on the table. And I think one thing that we've been missing, and this is something that comes from my business background, is you look at everything and you say, what is working and what is not working? And you reward those areas that are having good results, and you decrease in areas that are not having good results. And you look at what is it, the outcome you're trying to achieve, and then how do you go at it? And you dig into the numbers, you dig into where those numbers are going and the results that they're producing. And I think that's something that too often is not done. It just gets bigger, 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 and not, there's not an examination, an audit of what's working and what's not working, and that's something that desperately needs to be done.
You talked about this a little bit earlier on, but Oregon GOP has not won the governor's race since 1983. For a lot of us, that's like our entire adult life, essentially. Yeah. How does the GOP capture it? I mean, it really seems like we're a pretty fractured state, more progressive in some areas, more conservative in others, and the GOP just hasn't been able to quite get it done.
No, they haven't. And as we said, Vic Attia was Governor Attia, a great man, was very helpful for me when I ran before. And as obviously I was closest to have done it. And I think what I did then and will do now, but even in slightly, with better results, is that you have to run on a message that resonates across party lines. And that's why I will be focused on education, our economy, and livability, safety, affordability. Focus on those issues that it doesn't matter if you're a Republican, Democrat, or independent. We all want those things. And I think if you focus there and have a strong message, not only can you win as governor, but it helps everybody else who's running as well. And that's something the GOP hasn't always done a great job of from the top, but I think it's something that can be done. And I think the time is now. I mean, there's nobody, as I've traveled the state and talked to everybody, or everybody from different parties, different places, that I haven't heard anybody say it's working well right now. I haven't heard anybody say, hey, oh, this is great. I think there's so much of, and especially if you've been here for a while, you're like, this could be so much better. And it's possible. And I'm an optimist by nature. And I think, like I said, the good news is that there are solutions to these problems. And the other good news is there is a broad recognition that what we're doing and have been doing simply is not working. When you look at the present governor, when she came into office or became Speaker of the House 12 years ago, you'd say, what metric, what in Oregon has improved since she's been in power? And the answer is none. I can't think of one thing. It's all gone the wrong direction. So we need to change course, and we need to change course with someone who can help bring us together. Now, we're going to have healthy debates but be able to push forth an agenda that resonates across the state. And I think that's critically important at this time.
We've got 19 people already running for governor. We're not done yet. Most of them on the GOP side. Obviously, a lot of them unknowns. But for the four of you as main candidates, as somebody thinks ahead, if they're a GOP voter, what would you say in terms of why they should mark your name here later in the spring?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. I think I have the background, have the expertise. I think it's critically important that we have somebody from outside of Salem. And I think it's critically important that we elect somebody who can win a general election and win across the state of Oregon. As you said, it's a very diverse state, and you have to have the ability, you have to have the message, you have to have the vision to be able to connect with people from everywhere, whether it's from Roseburg, from Portland, from Pendleton, up in Sisters. You have to have somebody who's been across the state, knows the state, and can connect with people across the board. And that's vitally important at this time.
Really quickly, how do people connect with your website?
They go to Dudley for Oregon. Dudley for Oregon. And it's the number 4. So it's Dudley for Oregon.
All right, I'm sure we'll talk again. Chris Dudley, running for governor. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, Kyle, I really appreciate it and can't wait to get down there and talking in person, which will happen before you know it. And I really, really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
All right, you're at 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.